Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. The last time I preached, really, I've been doing it in front of a camera for the guts of 2 years, so it's absolutely delightful to see all your fresh faces this morning. Honestly, it's so exciting. Everything that Andrew said is true, by the way, character, caliber, all that, totally true. He tells no lies, that man. So we are carrying on our series on the Holy Spirit. How exciting. And I have been tasked with the great privilege of talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Whoa, dodgy. I do plan to remain vertical this whole time during the sermon, just so you know. If you know, you know. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, who he is, how he operates. But ultimately, I believe there is a level of freedom for you this morning to encounter him afresh, for encountering him afresh and continuing to just know him in a deeper way and in a deeper sense and have deeper revelation. So we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be exciting. We have been mentioning quite a lot about leaning into grace, leaning into what God has done, rejoicing always, praying and being thankful and declaring your grace works well, okay? And this morning, there's going to be some exchanging. We're going to exchange some of our stuff for more of God's presence. Amen? We're going to do that this morning. So a recap, the Holy Spirit. Andrew has talked a little bit about how the Holy Spirit is your comforter. He is your counselor. He reminds you of this covenant of love, this covenant of grace. He continues just to remind you of that. And ultimately, there's a difference when you're baptized in the Spirit, when you're filled to overflowing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But what we know about, well, whenever I think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think of how he's often been reduced to this emotional or physical experience. Sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit filling you, he's been reduced to almost this experience that you can recount and go, oh, I remember that time God touched me, but I can't really remember what happened after. I just remember this experience where I was in a service. We've reduced the Holy Spirit to that. Often what Andrew described as a Saving Private Ryan first scene in the movies. That's what we've reduced it to. Bodies everywhere. It's madness, right? That's what we sometimes go and think of. But actually to do that is to cheapen who God is to cheapen the work of his Holy Spirit. So we're going to explore a little bit about who he is, what he's done for you, but what it means for your life and how you can move from glory to glory and grace to grace. Does that sound all right? Perfect. Amen. Perfect. Amen. That's what we're going to do. So I've experienced those emotional experiences. I've experienced those things, and I'm not knocking them. Or maybe I'm knocking them, but I need your help with one, because sometimes we talk a little bit about, you know, people falling over and this, that, and the other. You got to help me with this. Flag waving. What's that one about? Anybody? There's some previous flag wavers in here, I think, am I right in saying? I never really understood it. I mean, I suppose I am knocking a little bit, but we had a previous experience in another church which should be remaining nameless, and an individual who'll be remaining nameless. But every time he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, he would just reach for the flag. Do you know the flag, like the two-handed flag that you need, you know, figure of eight and all that? So he would do that. We had a name for him, and we never told anybody. Andrew, you mean who I'm talking about? We called him Mr. Whippy, because as he whipped that flag in worship, I tell you, you were just thinking, this is the Spirit of the Lord, and every chorus ducking. So whenever I think of the Spirit of the Lord, I think of Mr. Whippy. So fantastic as he was, but he should remain nameless. That's his actual name. So I've been there. I've done it. I've got the T-shirt. I've had the experiences. But the Holy Spirit works in those moments, but he is so much more than that. And he is so much more for you this morning. So we're going to recap before we talk a little bit about the baptism of the Spirit, what it means for you, a little bit about the Holy Spirit and where he has operated throughout human history. We look, the Spirit, as we've heard, is fully God. The Holy Spirit, fully God, of the triune God, he is fully God, and he has a will, he has emotions, he works, and he's omniscient, he's everywhere at every time. That is who the Holy Spirit is. The word in Hebrew is ruach, and what that means is the breath of God, the wind of God. It's this breathing him in where you, and when you breathe in and you feel that, that is symbolism and imagery for the Holy Spirit moving to and fro throughout human history.
And he's been operating in the Old Testament, different to now, and we'll talk a little bit about that. He operates in Genesis 1. It's the Spirit, as you know, hovering over the waters in the wasteland, and then something is created out of nothing. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament rests on the people like Joseph, who's then Prime Minister of Egypt, to fill him to overflowing, where he can do incredible things for God. The Holy Spirit flows over the likes of King David when he's anointed, the prophets Elijah, Elisha, where they can do incredible things, miracles, powerful things. But the Holy Spirit always rested on individuals, not as a collective if you're in Christ like we have now. And this is the good news, church. You have access to the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Can I get an amen for that? You now have access. He no longer rests specifically on those individuals who are the man or woman of God. He rests on everybody who is in Christ. So that's how he worked. We see him working whenever the parting of the Red Sea. Do you remember how that was parted? It was a rushing, violent wind parted the sea. That's imagery of God's Spirit parting the sea, like Mr. Whitby, just part of that sea. That's what God did. You remember Mr. Whitby, yes? So throughout the Old Testament, that's how God worked. But the good news for you is Jesus said, as we covered in week one of this series, that it's better for him to go because he'll send the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can live a powerful and effective life to be his witness. The New Testament, Jesus talks about he's the comforter, he's the counselor. He reminds you of that covenant of love and covenant of grace. He doesn't stand on your shoulder, as we talked about, reminding you of all the things that you've not done right. He doesn't remind you all the things that you've been doing wrong, all the things that haven't gone your way. He reminds you that you're loved, that you're blessed, that you're holy, that you are blameless because of what Christ has done. That is truth this morning. And we heard that even from Maureen. Maureen, that's fantastic. Honestly, just incredible, incredible. God is faithful, and he's faithful no matter your circumstance. His grace doesn't run out, and his Holy Spirit for you doesn't run out either. So that's how he works in the New Testament, the comforter, the counselor. He rests on everyone. We've heard that he prays for you. The Holy Spirit prays for you, intercedes for you at every time. That's what he does. But in John chapter 20, Jesus specifically talks about the Spirit. And he says, when he comes into the upper room, he says again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that word, when he breathes on them, like I said, the breath of God, when he breathes on them, it's this word, infusao, I can almost get it. And it means breathing on someone in the same way in the Old Testament when God breathed on Adam to give him life. This is what Jesus did for you. Now this here, this is not the baptism of the Spirit. We're getting into that. That's the exciting stuff. We're going to get into that. But this is conversion. When the disciples were converted, Jesus breathed on them and gave them new life. If you're in Christ this morning, there is no debate, no matter how, as Andrew said, no matter how you're feeling, no matter if you're up, you're down, no matter what your week has looked like, no matter what your day has looked like, no matter what your day is going to look like, when he breathes on you, you are created new. That's it. Not up for debate. The Holy Spirit rests in your heart. No matter what your circumstances look like. When you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Can I get an amen? When you're in Christ, you are in him. And that is the reality. It's the same word when Adam received that life. And notice how the Spirit comes upon the disciples. He lives in their heart before they fix their mess. This is after Peter has betrayed Jesus. This is before Jesus is reinstated Peter on the beach. This is before that. You don't have to come to God with your mess all fixed for him to breathe his life into you. You just have to receive it. That's what he says. You just have to receive it. But I've got good news for you. Jesus has more for you than just making you righteous. There's more than just getting you a ticket into heaven, and there's more of him just telling you that he loves you. There's more than him transforming you on the inside. Jesus wants to transform you from the inside out. and wants that to flow out to those around you, to the world around you, that you can be effective witness in power, that the grace that's transformed your heart can transform everyone around you. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes a little further before he goes up to heaven. So he's been in the upper room. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He's breathed on them. Then in Acts chapter 1, he says, before he goes up to heaven, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now this word baptized is baptizo, and what it means is to properly submerge somebody, literally to dip under. So you think of water baptism when you go completely under and then come back up. This is what Jesus said still had to happen. So they've got the Spirit inside of them, but Jesus said, I'm going to submerge you completely into the Holy Spirit, that you're dripping, soaking wet with my presence and my power. So two different things. You're transformed on the inside, but then it's about what God's done on the inside in your heart, flowing out to those around you. He says in verse 8 in Acts 1, so he says, this is baptizo. You're going to be completely submerged. Then he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now that word power, as we say it very funny in this country, I'm actually English, by the way, for confession. I don't know why I'm confessing that to you. But I grew up saying the word power. I mean, seriously. So now it's power. Power. That was one of the first words that got fixed when I was 8 years old. Power. So Jesus says, I have come to give you power. And this word, it's dunamis. Okay, and I need to help you with this word because this, again, it's different than what he's done on the inside. It's when it comes out. This word, it means a tangible, noticeable, explosive power that's actually power through God's ability. Not through your ability. Not through your, I've got to work at this, I've got to show people God. No, through his ability in you, the power comes out. So I want to help you with the distinction between, with some imagery, really. God's transformed your heart, but it flows out. It's almost like if you need refreshment, say you're drinking a glass of cold water. That's you, much like my, unlike my hot coffee. So you're drinking in his Holy Spirit, okay? That's you receiving, that's you converted. That's God saying that you are his, you are blameless, you are righteous. That is it. That's happened. Not up for debate. But the difference is, if I drink cold water, that's me receiving the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in his presence, being baptized in his Spirit is like me jumping into a cold water, into a plunge pool, and completely immersing myself with what's happened in, come flooding out. For those who don't know, I have recently started this crazy hobby, which it is madness, of jumping into cold water in January, just 2 weeks ago. I was up in the mountains jumping into cold water, and I can tell you something, what a rush. It's absolutely fantastic after the 3.5 minutes of agony. It feels brilliant after that. But this is the difference. You come out, you're alive, you're feeling, whoa, what a rush. That's the difference. When the Spirit fills you in here, you're righteous, you're born again, absolutely. But then when it comes flooding out to the world around you, that's the impact. But I've good news for you. It's not about your ability. It's about God's ability in you and about God continuing to pour himself out on you, which is his heart for you, irrespective of how you feel about it. So that's the difference, to be the Spirit to come in, but then to be baptized with him. And we see it happen in Acts chapter 2. Jesus says, you'll wait, you'll receive power. And then it happens in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. This is the disciples. Suddenly, like the sound of a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now this right here is the prophecy of Joel. And it's good to learn about these things. It's good for me to teach you a little bit because it's so important that you get this of the work of the Spirit in the Old Testament compared to now in your hearts what he's prepared to do. This set alight the ministry of the disciples. Almost Jesus goes up and the Spirit comes down and baptizes them. And they were able to do the things that Jesus did, but even greater. That is God's heart for you this morning, that you can do even greater things than Jesus did. Bit of a challenge, isn't it? Let's be honest. But that is his heart. That is his heart for you when you're filled with the Spirit. And what happens with the disciples is we see it sets them off, God's power at work. It's the prophecy of Joel where God says, my Spirit will be poured out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, they'll dream dreams, no matter who it is. And this, my encouragement to you, is this is available for you today. If you have never had a baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been filled to overflowing with the presence of God, there's an invitation for you this morning to receive that. We'll talk a little bit about that toward the end. But this is what happened with the disciples. It set them alight. 3,000 people were added to the number in the church in one day, just like that. Well, I would say added to the church. The church started pretty much right then and there. It was just, boom, 3,000 people. When the Spirit came upon the disciples, they were speaking in other tongues. It was the Feast of Weeks, so you had all of these Jews gathered together so they could hear the disciples speaking in all of their native languages. Because here's the thing, God makes no mistakes about the timing of these things. And in your life, he makes no mistakes about his timing either. So what happens is perfect timing for all these people to come and receive Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit for themselves. So the baptism of the Spirit, the distinction between being filled as a Christian, being born again, the distinction is it's about overflow. It's about overflow in your life, overflow of peace and of joy, of success and prosperity, so that people may see the good God who lives in you flowing out. So the baptism is for two things, for power and that you can be a witness. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. And Jesus, that is his heart for you, that you can be filled with that this morning. And if you've already experienced a baptism of the Spirit, that you can be filled afresh with the speaking of tongues, with the filling of that, so you can go and that you can bless the world around you through his ability. So it's transformation from the inside out. The baptism of the Spirit, it complements the work that God's done in your heart. What we see with the apostles is there is an increase. And this is what the Spirit does. He increases and he multiplies in your life. There's an increase of influence in their lives. There's an increase in their communication, their power, miracles. It says that actually there was an increase in their desire for the things of God. There was an increase in their passion for who God was. They got to know him in such a deep way that no matter what was going on in their life, they were satisfied to overflowing. It says in Acts 4 that actually in the church in those early days when the Holy Spirit was working, there were no needy persons among them. They all prospered. They were all successful. And if you think that's specifically about money in the bank, you've missed the point. This is about wholeness. And Jesus' heart for you is to live in wholeness. Amen? His heart for you is to walk in wholeness, that you can be filled with overflowing. So it doesn't matter about circumstances. No, actually, you can show the world who he is and what he's done in your heart. That's what his heart is for you. And we see the difference. We see the difference in some of the apostles. Look at the impact on Peter. Peter's definition of success before this moment was about how much fish that he caught. That was his definition of success. But after this, his definition of success was seeing people added to the kingdom of God, was seeing people added to the church, was seeing people being healed, miracles, the sick being healed. That's what his definition of success was. And the invitation for you this morning is to receive the Holy Spirit afresh, that he changes our priorities to recognize actually whole living and being satisfied is about the king, is about the kingdom, and it's about the gifts that he gives to you. And the Holy Spirit, the baptism, is a gift. Jesus goes to as far as say it's absolutely necessary to live a powerful life with the Holy Spirit. You see, we see with Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 3, it was the Holy Spirit, you may remember, when he's baptized in water, the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon him. It's only after that moment are the first miracles recorded. Only after that moment when the Holy Spirit descends upon him and he's baptized with the Spirit. And it's the same with the disciples. They wait for that and God shows up. That's the invitation for you this morning, to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the gift of tongues. Hey, dodgy ground. I want to talk to you about that. 1 Corinthians 12, it's got a lot of flack, the gift of tongues. Let's be serious here. It's got a lot of flack over the years, but it is absolutely a gift from God that allows you to enter into his presence and to know him and to have fresh revelation of who he is. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. And the baptism of the Spirit being filled to overflowing is almost a gateway to those gifts. Now, there's many, many gifts. 9 gifts of the Spirit. You talk about tongues. There's prophecy. There's all these sort of gifts that allow you to flow in the presence of God and allow people around you just to see that flowing out in your life. But specifically, the word gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, it's this word charisma, you know, where we get charismatic. It's that word. And it basically means it's a free gift of God's grace, absolutely free. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to get it. You don't have to perform to get it. And this is God's heart for you this morning. This is, again, a reminder of grace. Andrew said it there as well. There was a great price paid by Jesus, but you and I benefit because you don't have to do anything to earn his love this morning. You don't have to do anything to earn his grace. You don't have to do anything to earn the gifts that he has for you. Amen? You don't have to do anything. And the enemy will come, and the enemy will come against that and remind you that it's all about your performance. It's all about how you've performed. It's all about the thoughts that you have will determine how much of God you get. I want to come against that lie this morning because we need to continue to remind ourselves the truth, which is God's love and his grace does not run out for you this morning. It is not running dry. God hasn't ran out of grace. Amen. He hasn't ran out of love for you. He hasn't ran out of purpose for you. He hasn't ran out of protection for you. He hasn't ran out of provision for you. God will continue to pour himself out on you. And all we have to do is receive. Amen. That's the truth. So it's the spirit of grace. It's this gifts that are free. The gift of tongues, which you all can receive if you haven't already. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end. It's this free gift of God's grace. It's your spirit, the Holy Spirit, praying to God. It's a heavenly language that you've never learned, but it's your spirit praying to God, and you continue to get fresh revelation of that. So it's a language you've never learned. Nothing quite sets you up for being a Christian. As a 14-year-old hearing the gift of tongues when you've never even heard of it before in your life, that was my experience when my friend said, let's pray for you. And you know, you do the universal, you know, universal sign of you're ready to pray. You're like this with the hands out. And then when your mate starts speaking in tongues, you just can't help but think, I'm in with the wackos here. I don't know what's going on. This was my experience of the gift of tongues. Not sure what it was, didn't know what it is, but I have been speaking in tongues now for the guts of 20 years. And I guarantee you, with a gift of God, it's scriptural. We see it throughout the book of Acts. It's a free gift that allows your spirit to pray to God. It edifies you. It encourages you. It strengthens you no matter what circumstance you're in when you can speak in tongues because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is a primary sign of being baptized with the Spirit. That's what happens when you speak in tongues. You edify yourself. You grow because who's ever been in a position where you do not know what to pray? Anyone? Where you're in positions where you don't know what to pray. God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't have a clue how this is going to work out. When you're filled with the Spirit, you pray in tongues. You pray in tongues in the morning, pray in tongues in the evening, pray in tongues when you're driving in your car, when you're walking, and you will find deeper levels of freedom, deeper levels of God's presence. It brings fresh revelation when you speak in that as well, where you hear the voice of the Lord. So the invitation is for those who have experienced the baptism of the Spirit, for those that, or even those that haven't, the invitation is that you can receive that today. And it's a fresh life, fresh power, where you can walk with God and continue to see more and more and more of his presence. So there's that distinct difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and then being baptized to overflow. And we talk about the gifts as well. There's lots of different gifts. And we're going to help you with that today. In my experience in my life, before receiving a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, once that had happened, there was an acceleration in my life of seeing the things of God. There was an acceleration in my life of seeing more of his word come to pass in people's lives, praying for people, people getting well. And when you operate in those gifts, they're free, you will be effective to witness to people because it's God's ability working through you. You almost think it's too good to be true, but this is it. God is good and God is a good father and he has good things for you. Amen, church. God is good and he has good gifts. And that's what I saw in my life, an acceleration of that whenever I received that. And we'll talk a little bit about that actually next week in terms of what that looks like. Sometimes there, as Christians, we are Christians, but we've never experienced the baptism. And Andrew alluded to that a few weeks ago, of that Andrew and Penny have done such a good job of helping us understand our righteousness and helping understand the foundation of his grace, and your identity flows from that. And we call it the Spirit of Grace. So no matter where you're at this morning, no matter where you're sitting, no matter what you're thinking, this is available for you this morning to receive a fresh filling of his Spirit, to be baptized in his Spirit. And we see that in Luke 11, Luke 11, verse 9, if it's coming up, there it is. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit?" How much more? The enemy will try his very best with a word like this to talk to you about how you don't really need that, or you maybe were baptized before. No, you don't really need to speak in tongues. I want to encourage you, how much more does God love you than any of the lies that the enemy speaks over your life? How much more does God want to bless you and fill you afresh with his presence than what you think maybe about yourself? Church, today God delights in giving himself to you. Sometimes we fall back into law and we think, I've only just got saved by the skin of my teeth. You know, I just got made righteous. Can't believe how it happened. And God says, no, you don't understand. My grace is so deep, my love is so wide, that I delight in giving myself to you. And this morning he says, I delight in giving more of myself to you. I delight in working in your situations. I delight in working in your family. I delight in working in your workplace, in your homes, in your friends, in your heart, in your mind, with the things that you worry about. I delight in working in those things. And he says to you this morning, how much more than your own experience of earthly fathers, he says, how much more will you, earthly fathers, will God as a heavenly father give of himself? And that's what he says, how much more do I want to bless you this morning? How much more do I want to continue to work? And the enemy tries to steal that. The enemy will try to steal this word, and he'll not want you to receive a fresh filling of power, of God's power and his grace in your life to overflowing. But we have to choose what we give authority to. We have to choose whether we give authority to the enemy or actually give authority to what God has said. Because how you approach this is key. And it's so important to receive exactly what Jesus has for you. When Jesus talks about the word receive, he said it twice in John 20 and in Acts 1. That word receive is this word lambano, okay? And I want to help you with this because we talk about receiving grace all the time. We talk about, you know, we just receive. It's important to know what that is. This word lambano implies this aggressively taking hold of what God has for you and saying, I'm taking that because that's mine, because he has given me authority to take all the blessings. That's what this word means. And this morning, for the Holy Spirit, God wants participation from you this morning. He wants you to participate with him and say, I want that. I want that in my life. Think about receiving a gift, whether it's Christmas or birthday, and I don't mean an aff gift, like not one of the ones that you don't particularly like. I mean the ones that you really like, you know, and you try it on, don't you? Say, thanks very much, that's great. You really receive it. You rip up the wrapping paper, well, I do anyway. You rip up the wrapping paper and you say, yes, fantastic, always wanted that. That's how God wants you to receive him this morning. Not just in the way sometimes with the people we don't really like, you know, it's kind of like you're opening the present, you're not really sure if you really want it or not. God said, no, receive it completely. Aggressively take hold this morning of his promise for you that he wants to fill you to overflowing, irrespective of what's going on in your mind about yourself, irrespective of what's going on in your heart, of what you think about yourself. So lambano, aggressively take hold of this morning, forcibly. It's like this implies forcibly remove it from God. Thanks for that, God. That's what I'm taking because you promised it. You promised your Spirit to work in me. So take hold of that this morning. If you want that fresh touch from God, if you want that fresh filling, that baptism of the Spirit. But we must come from that place of righteousness. We must come from that. Church, you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. He has given you authority to hold on to everything he has for you. Amen? Amen. Because your belief will determine how you come to God. You've got to trust that he is a good God, a good Father who has good things for you. You've got to come from that position of righteousness. Hebrews 4 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that he'll help us in our time of need. God comes against the lie again of the enemy that it's all about your performance. It's all about what you have to achieve to earn more of him. Because that's his grace, so deep, so wide that you can't get enough of it. You have to believe in the expectation of the goodness of God. You can't continue to live. I want to help you with this, okay? If you believe God is good, if you no longer believe that he is malevolent, he's unkind, he's bitter, he's a tyrant. If you've come away from, some of us have had that background or history where we believe it's all about performance, it's all about law. You can't live according to the standards that you no longer believe in. Okay, church? If you used to believe that God was a tyrant, if God didn't have good things for you, you can no longer live by those standards. If you believe he's good, he's kind, he's merciful, he's for you, he's purpose, he protects you, he provides for you, amen? If you believe that's who he is, you can't walk into your week expecting bad things to come. It doesn't add up. It doesn't. Well, that logic doesn't work because you believe in a good God who's kind and blesses you. So it's about how you approach it. So I challenge you this morning, who do you say that God is? If he's good and he's kind and he's got good gifts for you, you've got to come from that position. If I'm righteous, I am taking hold of what he has for me. And that's the invitation for you this morning of receiving the Spirit. God loves to give more of himself to you. If you think, God, I've had so much of you already, this is incredible, think again. God continually wants to work in you and the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. The wonderful thing is it's his Spirit. It's his gift, it's his power, it's his will, it's his plan, it's all him. You just have to say, yeah, I'm going to join in with that. Amen. How good is that? So we're going to do a little bit of that this morning, Exchange, just as I finish. We're going to do a little bit of that. The enemy wants to come and steal and wants to kill and wants to destroy the dreams that God has put in you, the things that God has put in your heart. But Jesus comes afresh and says, I want to fill you to overflow with my Spirit. I want to fill you to overflowing with my presence. But it requires some participation. Knowing that God is good, knowing that he's for you, knowing that he's got good gifts for you. Sometimes it's in our walk, there are some of you that have experienced this before, this power where we can walk and we can walk in the gifts that God has for us. But some of you haven't. And that's what we're going to help you with now. So I wonder what I want to ask is, I'd like you to stand on your feet. And can I get some, what do you call them, pads of glory? Can I get some of those pads of glory? Is that what they're called? You know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. I could talk up here for, and here's the thing, I probably could give you 130 sermons on the Holy Spirit and we still wouldn't be done because you have to whistle stop tour here. But the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, folks. It's not a matter of me explaining and you understanding. It's a matter of power. And I want to pray for you this morning. We're going to give an opportunity for all of you to be prayed for, to come forward and to receive prayer. And there's going to be a time of ministry during our last song. But I want to pray for you all right now. If you want to receive, and if you've never received what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're righteous, you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in you, but you've never received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you just as a symbolism to hold out your hands, to close your eyes and say, God, I want that. I want a fresh filling of your presence. And for those that have experienced it, let's not be idle. The word says be continually, continually, continually filled with his presence. It says don't be drunk on wine. It says be filled with the presence of God, implying your thoughts, your behavior, your actions will be permeated. It'll be permeated with God and his presence. So if you've received that, great. If you've already received that before, The invitation's for you as well to be filled afresh. If you want to be filled afresh with the love of God, you want to be filled afresh with a deepening sense of his presence. Again, symbolism. Hold out your hands and say, God, I want that. I want your presence. You know, as the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis 1, that same Spirit created something out of nothing. And it's same with your life. He hovered over your life when before you were saved, before God transformed you, and he said, I delight in you. And God, like he created with the earth, he created from wasteland, he created a garden. He has done that with your life. He has created a garden that is beautiful, and he wants to bless you and continue to flow over in your life. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to take a few minutes just to pray for you and those who are watching online as well. If you want to receive a baptism of the Spirit, you can join in as well online. And for those who speak in the gift of tongues, I encourage you to stir up that gift. Say, Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, in this place right now, we welcome you afresh. Jesus, I pray right now for those who have never experienced what's called a baptism of the Holy Spirit, being submerged in your presence. We pray, Holy Spirit, fall in this place right now. Just continue to stir that up. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Jesus, and just receive, say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. If you've never spoken in the gift of tongues, you receive this by faith, God's faith, divine persuasion. Just speak. Just speak in faith. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. God is gentle with you. God is kind with you. He never drives you. He leads you in peace. Jesus, we worship you. We pray, Holy Spirit, fall in this place afresh. We pray for your power. We pray for miracle-working power to rest in Jesus' name in the hearts of these people. Father, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, just continue to speak. Just continue to praise him. Continue to speak out. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Say, I receive it. I receive it, an act of faith. I take it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Jesus. Just want to take a moment just to, while you're praying, while we're worshiping, while we're praising, while we're speaking in tongues, just want to take a moment to prophesy over some of you. Jesus, we worship you, God. We worship you. God says he's a good father to you. He's a good father. And he says over some of you that He doesn't speak to you the way your family speak to you. He doesn't speak to you the way those difficult relationships people speak to you. He is a good father. He is not an earthly father. He is a heavenly father who loves you and who's gentle with you, who's kind with you. And he doesn't lay anything ill-fitting on you. Jesus, thank you, Lord. God says he's your protector. If you need to receive that word, he's your protector. I receive that, Jesus. You're my protector. No matter what I walk into in those situations, you are my protector. Jesus. Filled overflowing. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. We worship you. We worship you. Say thank you, Holy Spirit. You're in this place. We worship you, God. Freedom, Father. Let's pray, God. Pray for those who are experiencing just excess anxiety and worry, just in particular recently. We just pray right now and we break that over your life in Jesus' name. We break off the impact of worry and just speak in Jesus' name. Wholeness over you, freedom over you. Jesus, we worship you, God. Always good. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Folks, we're going to just take communion, but we want to give an opportunity just during the last song to pray for you individually. This word lambano talks about taking hold. We want to pray for you individually. Toward the end of the service. during the last song, if you want prayer for anything in particular, if you want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, if you want help with speaking in tongues, if you want prayer for anything, if you need prayer for healing, we want to pray for you at the front during the last song. But just in between that time, Andrew's going to do communion. So amen. So just during the last song, come forward and we're going to pray for you.
Amen. Let's put our hands together and thank Adam for this morning. Let me show him our appreciation, folks. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to take communion in your hands. We're going to pray for you. Now listen. It's not called mumbling in tongues. Do you hear me? It's not called whispering in tongues. It's not called saying things under my breath because I'm mildly embarrassed about the person beside me in tongues, right? Fan into flame, the word says, the gift that God has given you, all right? If you're more concerned with what the person beside you thinks, well, do you know what? Get over yourself. This is a God-given gift that God has given you today that will... I'm going to get Jillian Jordan next week to talk about what it did in her body, okay? I'm not going to do it now because I know she'd freak out, all right? Say, it's okay, Jillian, take time. Let's all reach our hands out towards Jillian and pray for her, all right? This will keep you fit, it'll keep you healthy, it'll keep you encouraged. God says, eagerly desire this gift, to speak in tongues, not... Sounds like you're some kind of crazy person mumbling to yourself, all right? Be bold in what God has given you, all right? And so we're just going to take communion together. We're gonna get ready for giving. Then our online folks are going to leave us, and then we're going to pray for some people here. What I'd say is, if you've never spoken in tongues, don't leave here before we've spoken or prayed over you. So, Father, thank you for your body broken. Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about this life. See, this life that we're taking, let's just really remember what we're doing here. We're looking at this life that God has given us. When he gave up his body for you, it was for your healing. It was so that you could be absolutely well and healthy. Amen? And so, Father, we take this morning and we say, thank you. Jesus, by your stripes, I am healed. Lord, that is not a mental assent to some kind of truth that just sits up there. That is my God-given right that I will walk in the goodness of what you did. And so, Father, I say, thank you. Your grace works well in my body, Lord. And I declare today that I am fit and strong and healthy. I lay hands right now. If you are sick this morning, just start to speak over your body, okay? This is where we cooperate with what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And so, and listen, if you have not received the gift of tongues, you're not going to receive the gift of tongues by keeping your mouth shut. The Lord does not supernaturally take over you and do this, all right? He doesn't move your jaws and your muscles. You do in faith receiving. Your mind will tell you this is bonkers. It doesn't make sense. And she's laughing at me beside me. I know she is, or just mildly smirking, all right? Forget that. Just put your eyes onto Jesus. Close your eyes and start to speak out and believe. If you've got that gift this morning, let me hear your tongues. It encourages me, all right? Come on, it's your time to speak. Time to declare that your grace works well. It's time to align our hearts with the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of grace, and to receive grace upon grace into our lives. For those of you who have never done it, just start to speak in faith. Use the word. Might be one or two words that he's given you, one or two sounds that he's given you. Just start to speak out. Come on, not mumbling, not whispering, not embarrassed. In Jesus' name, I release right now that Spirit of grace over your life into this new language, that you would be equipped and filled to overflowing with the grace of Jesus, that we would be unashamed, unembarrassed about what you're doing in this place, Lord, and what you want to do in my life. We cast down right now every spirit that would come against us to accuse. And in Jesus, in your name, we pray right now, Father, for that gift to be released in every life, in every home, in every situation, in every circumstance, as we allow your Spirit to draw close, Father, to your Spirit in us, Lord. And we speak and we align in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even online right now, we believe right now, wherever you are, anywhere in the world, that the Spirit of the Lord is touching you in this moment, is causing that overflow in your life of grace himself just pouring out of you in Jesus' name. We say enough. Lord, grace is not a theology that we simply align to. It is the Spirit of God himself living in us, bringing us your life, your breath, God. You know, whatever God breathes on, comes to life. Do you know that? Go right the way through from the Old Testament right through to the New. When the breath of God touches something, the result is life. And so, Spirit of the living God, I pray right now in this place that you would baptize your people with your grace and your Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are taking your first faltering steps, let me encourage you. I haven't even taken communion yet, have we? Let me encourage you. Okay? You fan this into flame. What that means is sometimes it starts off like a small ember, and the Spirit of the Lord says, you know what? Keep practicing, keep talking, keep aligning, and what you will find is you will start to really flow in an easy way into this new gift that you have. And I promise you, you'll have new revelation on grace. You'll have a fitter body, a sounder mind, more joy and more hope in Jesus' name. Why? Because it's the breath of God in you. Somebody say amen. So Father, we take this bread and we say thank you, Lord. Spirit of the living God, thank you for working your healing in my body right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for your righteousness. Your righteousness is a gift, Lord. It's not academic. It's what changes us from the inside. Lord, we thank you that this morning, because of your blood, every curse is broken over our lives. Every curse of sickness, sin, death, condemnation, guilt, anxiety, worry, stress is broken in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for that, and we drink it in today. Lord, one drop of your blood is enough for all men, all women, all kids, all time, all eternity to be brought into your wonderful presence. And so, Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for pouring out your blood for us. Thank you that we are redeemed from the curse, set free as sons and daughters of God the Most High. Amen. On the screen, you'll probably see ways to give. Remember, if you're in the building, you can give on your way out. Thanks for joining us online. Catch up with us during the week. Thank you to Adam and online. We'll see you soon. But here's what I want to do. In terms of time, we're just going to... If you've...